Would you turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 22? Genesis chapter 22. The last two sermons that I preached, and I didn't preach last Sunday, Brother Ben did a marvelous job and stirred some hearts. And his preaching, a little unique, and he's a lively fellow, obviously, but a brother with a great heart, and we appreciate that. But the two Sundays previous to Brother Ben Hupp, I preached on Jehovah. And we looked at the fact that Jehovah is the eternal I Am. We learned some things about the fact that he is the I Am and Jesus is Jehovah. We learned all that in those two messages. Now today we want to begin our list, and that's what it is, of compound names of Jehovah. And the first one we're going to look at this morning, you read as you were reading the scriptures, you notice that verse where it said the Lord himself will provide the lamb. The Lord himself would be the ram. And we saw that I had put himself in red capital letters to draw your attention to that as you were reading. And that is up in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 22. Now we've already read the passage, you get the drift. He's to take his young son, and when I say young son, I am talking about a son who was in his 20s, perhaps. We're not talking about a little kid. We're talking about an adult. And he took his adult son, young adult son, to where God said to go. Do you know where that is? Well, today that is where the Dome of the Rock is in Jerusalem, Mount Moriah. Later on, David and Solomon would build the first temple. And later on, Zerubbabel and Ezra would build the second temple. And later on, King Herod will embellish that second temple into a beautiful edifice equal to what Solomon had had. But at this point, it's just a rocky mountaintop over there in the land that we call Israel today. And you read the story. So look at me at verse 8. And Abraham said, my God, or my son, God will provide himself the lamb. God will provide himself the lamb. And the two of them went together. Then you know what happened. He sacrificed his son. He lifted the knife. He was ready to plunge it into the throat of his son. And the angel of God said, Abraham, here I am. Put down the knife. Now I know that you will obey me implicitly. Now there's a lot of things in that story. I'm not going to deal with that story today. But I want you to know the result of that is verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. Now, I have told you hundreds of times, and that's not evangelistically speaking, literally I've told you hundreds of times, when you see the word Lord in four capital letters, that is the word Jehovah. And so I will read it that way. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Now, you have heard people use that term, I'm sure. Whenever God provides something, you can say Jehovah Jireh. Because it means the Lord will provide, or God will provide. And notice that the place that he said that, it was on Mount Moriah. 1,500 years later, God provided his son Jesus on a cross on that spot. And Jesus was crucified. And you remember when Jesus started his ministry at the age of about 30, best we can tell, that Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist, and the next day he comes back to the river where John is baptizing, and John sees Jesus coming. Verse 29, John chapter 1, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Peter, looking back at that event, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, we read this, that he is the precious Lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus shed his precious blood for you and me at this spot where Abraham was to sacrifice his son Isaac. And the two stories go together. Someone asked the question, why in the world would God require someone to sacrifice their son? And the obvious answer is, God did it himself. God sacrificed his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Up there, the fan. I need a fan. Thank you very much. The Lord will provide. Now flip with me over to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. And we'll look at the next one. We're going to start at verse 22. Exodus 15, beginning at verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to Jehovah. And Jehovah showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of Jehovah your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah Rapha," which means Jehovah who heals. Now, I am the Lord that healeth. Now, is the Lord talking about healing you and me? Has God changed? Or is it true, as is said in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Now, if he's the same God today that he was back then can he heal people? Yes. Has he healed you? More than once. You said, "Well, I got healed because I took this pill and I went to this doctor and I had this surgery." Let me ask you something. Who made your body? God, right? God made your body. God knows everything there is to know about your body. And God knows what will work to heal your body. Or God can do a miracle. There's no question in my mind but what God does miracles. Now, miracle is that which takes place when God supersedes natural laws that he created and he set in motion at the creation of the world in Genesis chapter 1. But once in a while, God chooses to supersede those laws and heal people miraculously. Now, if he doesn't use the miraculous mode, does he still heal? Yes. Have you ever had an illness, a serious illness, and now you're healthy again? Have you ever had surgery, and now you're healthy again? The answer is yes. And if I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you have had cancer? There's a whole lot of people that I can look at right now, and I can say, that person had cancer, that person had cancer, that person had cancer. There are some of you that have had heart disease, and you've had heart attacks, and yet you're sitting here today because God healed you and God restored you. And so we have this big, long list on the back of the bulletin of people that need healing. They need help. And you and I are to be the intercessors. We are to be the ones who pray for them. And we are to be the ones who bring them before the throne. And not always are they Christian. I can think of several miracles in the Bible during the time of Jesus. When he healed the person first, and then he said, go and sin no more. Now, we came to verse 26. I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth. But I must hurry on. Jehovah Nissi. Just turn a page or two over in your Bible to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And I need to read the background, so I'm going to start at verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And if you don't know what Rephidim is, it means dead bones. Came and fought Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some men and go out and fight with the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was that when Moses held up his right hand, that the Israelites prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now we come to our important passage. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name Jehovah, what? Nissi, or Nissi, or however you want to pronounce. Looks like Nissi on the screen, right? The Lord our victory. Now, what is a banner? We don't use banners today when we go to battle. But in the old days, someone stayed right alongside the captain or the general and held up the banner. And the soldiers could tell where the captain was, and they followed the banner to the spot where the conflict was. And it was a sign of victory. When the war was over, who was holding up the banner? We had that event happen right here in the United States in its infancy, when the British were determined they were going to destroy the fort outside of Baltimore. And all through the night, they bombarded 100 warships with cannons, bombarded that fort. And Francis Scott Key was on one of those boats. And down in the hold of that boat were a whole bunch of American prisoners of war. And he had secured the word of the captain that when the battle was over, they would be released. And the captain said, it's a mute issue. We're going to blow that fort off the face of the earth, and there won't be any fort left to resist. Well, you know the story. All through the night, as the rockets were thrown towards that from the ships out there in the harbor, that the flag continued to fly over that fort. And Francis Scott Key wrote a poem about that, which has now become our national anthem. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail in the twilight's last gleaming? All through the night, that flag waved. In the morning, when they finally got to the remnants of the fort, they found the flag was being held up by a pile of bodies. And let me tell you something. If you understand our national anthem, you won't bow your knee in protest. You will proudly put your hand over your heart. But you see, we're not educating our kids in the right way. And our kids do not know what it is to follow a banner. The flag, in our case, the banner to war with Joshua. Let's look at the next one. And before I put it on the screen, I'd like you to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus. That's the next book after Exodus. So you can find it. Leviticus 20 and verse 8. And I'm just going to start at verse 6. Verses 1 to 5 are the penalties against worshiping idols, in particular Molech in that case. And as I best describe Molech was kind of like a Buddha. And in his lap was a huge fire burning. And in order to honor Molech, they would throw their children into that fire. You see why God forbid the worship of Molech? It was an idol made by hands, and they sacrificed to it with their children. Now we sacrifice too, don't we? We call it abortion today. And people are getting rid of babies right and left at the abortion mills. And that's why we are supporting Life Choices. And I don't know how many of you know where Life Choices headquarters is. Yeah, very few, about half, maybe. It's right across the street from Binghamton Central High School. God gave them that building. They are right across the street from Binghamton High. They are a ministry to young ladies who find out they are pregnant and come in there to get some answers, and God gives them answers. And so your little gift in a bottle, be it dollars or coins or checks, whatever you put in here, helps them to minister to the young ladies that come to them. Not only to the young ladies, but they minister to a lot of guys. You know, women don't have babies, girls don't have babies without fellas. And many times it's the fella that tries to talk the girl into solve the problem by getting an abortion. And so this ministry, Life Choices, not only ministers to the ladies, it ministers also to the guys. So, just a thought. Chapter 20, verse 6. And the person who turns after mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. I've heard of Christians that go to listen to these fortune tellers, these mediums. They advertise a guy on TV here a couple weeks ago. I forget just where and what his name was. There was someone else who was quite popular a few years ago. Friend, God forbids that. Y'all know that? God forbids that. That's sin. That's sin. We have a spirit to go to. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God lives right in me. And he lives right in you. And you have no business going to these fortune tellers and these spiritists and these tarot card readers and these palm readers. All of that is garbage from hell. And we Christians have no business involved there. But now look at the next verse. And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. For I am Jehovah who sanctifies you. And I'll put the next one up there on the screen. The Lord that doth sanctify. Jehovah Kadesh. It's not Q-U, so it's not Qua. It's Ka, like a K. Kadesh, Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord that doth sanctify. Now let's go to Judges. Judges chapter 6 and verse 24. Judges chapter 6 and verse 24. Judges is right after Joshua, and it's just before little Ruth. Judges chapter 6. And you know the story of Gideon, and God calls Gideon, and God prepares him to go out and fight the battle, and you know all about that. But in verse 24, it says, so Gideon built an altar there to Jehovah and called it Jehovah Shalom. Now, we all know what Shalom means. The Muslim have a similar sounding word, which means the same thing. We pronounce it shalom. It means Jehovah, our peace. Jehovah, our peace. Jehovah shalom. The Lord is our peace. Now you go to the New Testament, you know some verses there, I'm sure. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep. And the word keep there is the word which means build a fortress. Shall keep, shall fortress. Put a defense around you, if you please. Shall preserve, shall keep. Shall garrison in your heart. He is our peace. The Lord is our peace. Move on quickly to Jeremiah 23. And maybe you already have Jeremiah 23 underlined in your Bible for another reason. But turn with me to Jeremiah 23. Starting at verse 3. Verse 3 is talking about AD 1900 and following. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. What God has done in the nation of Israel since 1948, when they became a recognized nation, following a vote in the UN in late 1947, Israel was declared a nation in May of 1948. What they had to work with was nothing but rock piles. hardly a tree to be found in the land. Bare and desolate, totally destroyed by the Muslims over the years. And when Israel began to move in, God literally turned that land into what the prophet had said, a land flowing with milk and honey. Today, they are major exporters of everything usable in the world. And in some ways, they are way ahead of the United States. Medically, agriculturally, scientifically, militarily, God has blessed and fulfilled this. And then he said, I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says Jehovah. That's describing 1900 to the present day. That's talking about us, right here in this world, at this moment. And then he says in verse 5, behold, the days are coming, says Jehovah, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. Or maybe your translation says a righteous branch. Referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming at the end of the tribulation period and destroying his enemies and setting up his kingdom over all of the earth. I continue reading in verse 5. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called, Jehovah Tsidkenu. You say, what kind of a word is that? Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now that's talking about the millennium, when King Jesus rules over this whole world from Jerusalem. That's coming, folks. And you and I are not going to be here when it happens, if we're God's children. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air before the tribulation ever starts. But following the tribulation of 7 years, King Jesus comes back, puts an end to the reign of Antichrist and all of the wickedness that is going on at that time. And he sets up his glorious kingdom, and you and I are going to be back here in our new glorified bodies. No more artificial teeth. No more things in our ears to hear. No more metal joints and plastic joints and plastic parts and rods on our back and all of those things that some of you people have had to experience in order to live. All of that will be gone. You'll be perfect in health. You'll be perfect in strength. You will be a whole new person in your new glorified eternal body. Amen. Some of you are awake this morning. That's good. I got to hurry on. Ezekiel, that's right after Jeremiah, isn't it? Ezekiel 48, the last chapter of Ezekiel, the last verse of the chapter, the last verse of Ezekiel. The next thing will be Daniel right after that, right? You found it? Are you ready? All right. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits. What's a cubit? Distance from here to here. In my case, it's a little more than 18 inches. Because God blessed me with long arms. But for some of you, it'd be a little shorter. Generally speaking, it's about 18 inches. Now, you can do the math. 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah is there. You say, what kind of a word is that? Well, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Where's God going to be? Jerusalem. Where's Jesus going to be? Jerusalem. And you and I are going to join him and do whatever he calls us to do in our new glorified bodies. Now bear in mind, there will be a whole lot of people populating the earth at the end of the tribulation. They are not going to get new glorified bodies. They're going to keep their regular human bodies. They're going to grow old gracefully. They have 1,000 years to grow old. Not bad, eh? They'll be having kids and marriage, and they'll be building, and they'll be trying to bring back the glory that will have been destroyed during the tribulation period. If you read your Bible, read the book of Revelation, and make notes, you'll find out that 2/3 or 3/4 of the earth's population will die during those 7 years. Can you comprehend that? I can't. I can't. But that's what it says. Well, we got two more, and I go quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 3. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to Jehovah Sabaoth. Not Sabbath, but it's Jehovah Sabaoth. I'll put it up there so you can see it. Jehovah Sabaoth, which means the Lord of hosts. Now, the word host means armies or a large congregation. And certainly he is the God of armies. And that term is used repeatedly throughout the Old Testament. But here we use it, and I underline it, and I bring it to your attention. We don't have time to look at those two other references. You can look at them later. And the last one this morning, you all know where it is or what it is. You just don't know what I'm going to throw at you, do you? Psalm 23. You don't even need to look there, do you? Psalm 23. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But look at the first verse, the first phrase of the first verse. You don't have to look in your Bible, you're in your head. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. Or Jehovah Raha. Jehovah Raha or Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. Let me ask you this in closing. Is he your shepherd? You know what shepherds do? They lead their sheep in green pastures. They lead their sheep beside still waters. They restoreth the health of their sheep by where they take them to feed and where they take them to water. And they protect them from the wolves and the wild dogs and the coyotes and the lions and the bears. And you know the story, David did all of those things. And the shepherd leads us through the shadow of death. Can shadows hurt you? No. You teach that to your little children, don't you? You sometimes, maybe you were one of those meanies and you used to try and scare the little child, your son or your daughter, with shadows. Or maybe you were the nice parent who explained to them what shadows are and how they're made and the fact that you can make them look long, or you can make them look real short, depending on where the light source is. Use it for education, not to scare the willies out of your little children. But it's a shadow of death. Doesn't say that he leads us to death. Says he leads us through the shadow of death. But notice what's on the other side. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Isn't God good? Why does he anoint our head with oil? That has two applications. One is to anoint to be a king, and the other one was to anoint medicinally. To put oil on one's head and to pray over them was that God would heal and restore. And so the list, let me run it through very quickly. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. In other words, victory. The Lord that doth sanctify. Jehovah Kaddish. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts or armies. And finally, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your presence this morning and we commit to you these dear people. They all have needs, but help them, Lord, to come to you, to find that you are the one that heals. You are the one that leads us and guides us as a shepherd. You're the one that pronounces righteousness on us. You're the one that gives us peace. And you're the one that fights the battle for us, if we just learn to trust you. Help us, Father, to bring glory and honor to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.